What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Everyday Parent Podcast. With me, as always, Shane and Kelly. And Kelly, I have a question. And I don't know how to ask this without being blunt. Did you buy that sweatshirt for yourself? This bright green favorite daughter sweatshirt?
I'm so glad you asked. I did. I am one of three daughters, and my dad lovingly refers to each of us as his favorite daughter, but only in one-on-one conversations. When all three of us are together, he has never admitted who his actual favorite is.
But that sounds like a good dad.
I mean, yeah, he's a great dad, but I do think he probably does have a favorite.
Do you think it's you? Objectively?
I 100% used to think it was me.
Then you moved to Tennessee.
I now think it might be my other sister because she visits more often.
Mm.
Those visits will get you.
Man, I know. I live so far away.
I have a friend of mine who he moved. He's still in the state, but he moved to a different part. And his mom is just passive aggressive all the time of like, yeah, we're just up here. He's like, yeah, and they're down there. Like, I don't know what you want. Thankfully, Linda and I, both of our parents are like, just come whenever you can because mm-hmm. they live so far away. So they understand. Shane, are you the favorite son or is it the other one?
Here's the deal. I think being the firstborn has a little bit of advantage. So I would say probably I was the favorite.
Is that the only thing you have to stand on, though, firstborn?
Yeah, kind of. But Eric,
Alec and I are looking at you with like these sinister eyes because we're like, all right.
I know you guys.
I mean,
you guys
I was the firstborn.
You guys? Oh, you
are,
were?
Yeah.
Oh, you were the youngest.
Oh heck no.
Oh, this ruins my whole story. Sorry,
but,
Shane.
But here's the thing. I will say this. I was probably the favorite, but I was probably the biggest personality. But Eric was probably the best kid. He's the middle boy.
And I didn't realize. Oh, that's right. You have a sister.
Eric was the good kid, and Eric didn't mess up and all that stuff. And then there's Chris, the youngest, and he was just.
Oh, you have two brothers?
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
a sister.
Yeah, thanks for knowing me, Alec.
I don't think I've ever heard you. I've only heard you talk about your brother. That's a runner.
And so yeah, that's Eric. And then Chris. Chris is a lot like me, but funnier. And so he's hilarious. And then there's.
So he's a lot like you, but funny.
Funnier.
Shane's implying that he is also funny.
That's what I'm getting at.
And then there's the baby, which was the girl who was the princess.
She's probably the actual
she
favorite.
She is with mom, yes.
Okay. Mm.
Yes, we would have this whole conversation. To this day, my mom still brings it up. I was getting mad because they were showing her favoritism, and I said, it's like the body wash. She goes, what? I go, we never once got to pick our soap. She got to pick body wash and shampoo. I said, we never got any of that. And my mom just rolls her eyes and walks away.
Mm. So I don't know about as far as my immediate parents, who the favorite between my brother and I are. I mean, I only made my parents drive 30 minutes for my wedding. My brother made them drive like six. So maybe there's that. But I know with my grandmother, my dad's mom, my dad's mom, 100%, I was the favorite. I looked at her and said, I'm your favorite, right? And she was like, yes. And it was like a known thing that I was her favorite. Speaking of favorites, sometimes, you know, I've seen situations where some kids, families are split up as to which schools they go to. And it seems like the favorite goes wherever, you know, the private schools are or something like that. I'm just kidding. I don't actually know any families. I was trying to transition.
Golly.
Today,
that's a little hardcore.
We're talking about schooling and, you know, there's all different types. You know, there's the three big buckets, public, private, and homeschool. We can start with you, Shane, because Kelly, did you only do public school?
Like growing up or for my kids?
No, growing up.
Yeah, no, I was a public school kid.
For public school for life. Shane, you did public and then private at the end of your year,
my
right?
My senior year,
and,
yes.
Yeah, senior year. And then I've done all three because, you know, I'm just diverse like that. But that does, I mean, Shane and I have actually had this conversation a couple times, and I think it's just one that's helpful. Like, I don't know what Linda and I will do when we have kids. You know, with everything that's going on in the public school space, there's part of me that's like, man, I love the idea of our kids getting to interact with non-believers and be outside of a Christian bubble and getting to be a force for the kingdom and navigate complex issues with us while they're still home. But then there's also part of me that's like, if I don't have to navigate that with a 5-year-old, I would love to not to. But the problem is then it's like, do we homeschool? Lyndon's not necessarily the built to homeschool. So it's like one of those things where we don't even know if Lyndon will be a stay-at-home mom, you know? And so, I don't necessarily get paralyzed by it because I'm like, oh, we've got plenty of time. But how did you guys navigate that? Especially around here, like I know our school systems are great up in Sumner County, but there may be people listening that are in parts where the public school systems aren't great. And maybe they're not, maybe there are people listening where they're not safe. I grew up in an area where that was a very real conversation. In Memphis, it feels like there's as many private schools as there are public high schools because it's such a thing in Memphis, because school systems, that whole situation is way different than it is in other parts of the state. And so how did you guys navigate all of that? Obviously, Shane, you've got one in college and one close to college. So y'all's decision, it looks way different than Kelly and Mark's decision because of where your kids are. So anyways, this is probably the longest way I have asked
the
question.
The longest question in the history of the podcast.
Yeah, but actually, so how did you guys navigate all of that? Because I mean, it's a weighty decision. It feels like it's a weighty decision. Maybe I'm sitting here not having made it and you're like, oh, that's easy. We just did what we did. And so anyways,
I think, well, let me first go back to just for me and for my family growing up, there were three boys and a little girl, like we talked about. All three boys went to public school. We grew up in pretty rough schools. Matter of fact, when I was in college, I flipped on TV and I was watching Cops, and my high school was on Cops. And so it was a pretty rough school, but I loved it. And I loved my time there. But my sister went to private school almost the whole time. I think once she went to middle school, she went to private school, and it was different. It was different for boys and girls. It was different. There were so many different things. But I think the key is this, is you have to figure out what's best for your family. Because my mom and dad never could have homeschooled because both of them worked.
Right.
Both of them were, you know, they had to work. And so that never could have worked. And really, back when I was growing up, homeschooling wasn't a huge option.
Right.
And so I think there are a few things. One is your community. You know, one of the things I love about the schools in this area is they're very community driven.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's Beach or Liberty Creek or Station Camp or Hendersonville, those are
Or Gallatin
or Whitehead, whatever.
You start naming them, you got to name them all.
I know you do.
Come on, you're in student ministry. You know this.
I forgot. My bad. Whatever school, if it's community driven, and if it's a community feel to it, then it makes sense and that's great. But there may be things that are being taught that you don't want your child to learn. And so then you look towards the homeschool or the private school option. You know, the other side of it is that also, and you know, I've had parents come to me and say, hey, man, we're thinking about sending our kid to this private school, that private school. And I've had conversations with them of, okay, here's what you have to understand going into that.
Yeah.
There's some other things at play, you know, like there's a certain private school in this area that we've had kids leave our student ministry, go to that private school, and we never saw them again. Mm. Not for bad reasons, but because the homework was so much, and right. there was so. Then so they all of a sudden they quit having time on Wednesdays, and they quit having time on Sundays, and so it was. There are other things that go into play that you have to think through when you're trying to figure out what's best for your child and your family.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think Mark and I are both public school kids, and so I think we both had just like a natural predisposition to public school. But we've been super thankful for our experience with Sumner County. Two out of my three kids are in school, public school, and it's been really great. We've loved it, have been really thankful for the teachers and administrators. But I think it's a unique decision to each family and honestly to each kid.
Like, right.
Like, I could definitely see us, with one of my kids in particular, possibly choosing an alternate school when he hits, like, middle school or high school.
Yeah.
But for now, the public school has been really great.
No, that makes sense. And to that, like, I know, so part of the reason that my mother-in-law moved back to Troy, Alabama with her family was because it was strictly because, well, some of it was, but... sorry, most of the choice was about school because my brother-in-law, Lyndon's brother, he's high functioning, but he is on the spectrum. And what she found was they lived in Wilson County, and the school system there wasn't necessarily set up for him to thrive. But in Troy, they had a system where it's a smaller scale, I think, but they had buddies that would stay with Troy. And I mean, it was a cool God thing where, you know, he ended up being with like a former Marine. So it's like someone that can handle all the things. You know, Kelly, for you and Mark, like, how did you guys navigate working through what schooling would be best for your child who has special needs?
Yeah, that's a really great question. We were really pleasantly surprised when we moved to Tennessee. They had really great services. So Tennessee has like early intervention services. So we qualified for a lot of therapies even before school. So like he had in-home speech therapy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, all these different services before age three. And then when he was three, he qualified for a preschool program that was actually run through Sumner County Schools, but it was for children with special needs. And that was a huge blessing to our family because, quite frankly, a lot of the preschools that we had looked at in the community just were not equipped to meet his needs. And so that was a huge blessing. He was enrolled in that. It was, you know, like a part-time preschool program, and he was able to work with a speech therapist a lot. And then when he enrolled in kindergarten, we went through the IEP process, and his kindergarten teacher was, I mean, a godsend. Like, this woman, first of all, was like a believer, so great. And, you know, I think she was one of the first educators I had met that only saw ability in her students with special needs. And she would always emphasize what her students could do and what they were capable of. And it was clearly like this woman's like mission from the Lord that she just found such joy in helping these students just thrive. And so we had an awesome experience. The principal was fantastic. But this teacher also recommended to me, she said, "Hey, your son is probably gonna do okay throughout the elementary years." She said, "But if you really want him to like hit the pinnacle of what he like has potential for," she was recommending different schools down in Nashville. And so I remember Mark and I looking at it, you know, he was only in kindergarten. So we're like, "Oh, we've got plenty of time." And then, you know, like time flies. But like, I think a big question for families when they're choosing schools, part of it is budget. Like, you know, different schools cost a lot of money. And so it was helpful to have that conversation early to say, okay, if we choose this for like sixth grade, I mean, that's like 2 years away for him, or like ninth grade. Like, what do we have to start budgeting for? You know, what other types of therapies may he need? So I think asking those questions and doing your research early can kind of help you have more options, just because some things are going to cost a little bit more money, and just being aware. And every county is different. Every school is different.
Right.
So I think asking questions, getting involved, advocating for your kids a lot, I think I would recommend if you've got a kiddo with special needs, and just fighting for the services and the therapies that they'll need.
Before we move on, where did you find like those things? If there's someone's listening, it's like, "Oh, like I need that for one or all of my kids." Like, how did you get connected into that?
Yeah. So if you have a young child, so like under like a preschool age child or baby or toddler, and you have any suspicion that there might be something going on, definitely talk to your pediatrician. But it's TEIS. So like Tennessee, educational intervention services, or like early intervention. But you can go to like TEIS. I don't know the exact website. But you can have your child evaluated. It's completely free of charge.
Cool.
But Tennessee is an amazing state when it comes to resources. Like, I came from the Washington DC area and I thought we had great providers and services there. I was blown away, honestly. And now TEIS goes up through 4 years old. So they have state funded free therapies, and it's all designed to help kids who may be having a disability or maybe like a little bit behind on some of those key developmental milestones. And early intervention makes such a big difference.
Right.
So like, don't feel shame around like, "My kid's not, you know, not quite where they need to be." Definitely talk to your medical provider. Definitely have the evaluation done. It doesn't hurt. Let me say that.
Right.
Like, if anything, it's going to be a benefit for your family.
That's good. And so with that, I mean, schools, public, private, homeschool, like, it seems like more and more that there are things that, you know, are being introduced, whether it's in movies or TV shows, different things where conversations are going to come up. Like, how do you guys navigate the questions that come from school. Like, you know, I could see where, you know, it's like, all right, you have an elementary student who is classmates with, I don't know, some of the easier things that can happen. But, like, how do you guys handle the conversations when it's, like, a deep theological thing, or it's like a, hey, you know, I thought this was bad, but Jimmy over here is doing this, or Jimmy's parents do this, or Jimmy is allowed, however, you know, however those questions come. Like, how do you guys navigate the questions that come from school that may be off the wall or happen way earlier than you may think they should?
I think I try to keep a really open line of communication with my kids, and I encourage them to ask me anything. And I pray that that's a continued relationship. Like, my kids are still pretty young, so they haven't been exposed to anything too crazy yet. But I have, like, I mean, there's an example of my son who, like, God love him, has a speech delay, but that he learned his first, like, words of profanity in his CDC classroom because there was a fifth grade student who was struggling with different things and would sometimes use some pretty foul language. And I remember I heard Jude muffle something, and Mark and I did a double take, and I was like, what just came out of his mouth? Like, what? Like, what? Did you say that? Like, what happened? And I just remember, like, I asked his teacher, I was like, hey, I was like, I heard Jude say this. And she goes, oh. And now she can't really tell me, like, what's going on specifically, like, oh. But she said, yeah, we have a student in a class who sometimes uses some language that's very inappropriate. And so then Mark and I realized, oh, great, now our kid is exposed to this at school, even if he's not getting it, like, you know, we've been mindful about, like, the movies he watches and all these things. So I think you have to just be prepared for what your kids are going to potentially be exposed to. I joke and say, like, I learned so many things in the back of the school bus. And so I don't want that for my kids. I want to be proactive in teaching them and educating them about the thing. And I think I have this, like, philosophy that I want to teach them the truth of God before they're exposed to the lies of this world.
Yeah.
And so even if I'm not ready to introduce, like, something out there in the world that they may or may not encounter, I want them to have, like, the biblical foundation of, like, well, this is true. We know that we can count on God's word. We know that his word is fundamental and is not going to change. This is something we can build our life upon. And also, mom and dad are always safe people. You can ask us anything. You're never going to get in trouble for asking us, what is this? Or I heard this, or I saw that.
I think, you know, yes, the school bus is always an interesting place where, especially if you look at how Sumner County does the buses, where they start with the elementary and then they go to the middle school. And sometimes you've got middle school kids and even high school kids on there with elementary school kids. And so they can hear some stuff. And I've heard some stories with Crew that were interesting. There were some times where we needed him to be ride the bus.
Yeah, I was exposed to, like, mooning on the bus as a fourth grader.
Oh, boy.
Like, yeah, it was a very interesting experience. I was like, hey, mom, dad, what's mooning? They freaked out. They explained it. I was like, oh, that's what she did. And they're like,
great.
Okay.
There you go.
I was in private school the following year.
Here's the other thing. It's, yes, it's the buses and it's the locker rooms. But here's the thing. It's also sometimes the teacher. You know, that we've had to sit down with our kids and have conversations of whether it was evolution was taught or whether it was a teacher's view on things. And we've had to just sit down and say, hey, understand who you are, understand what you believe.
Yeah.
And you don't have to back down, but you also don't need to be a punk. And so we've had those conversations where, you know, there's two cases in particular, one in middle school and one in high school, for our kids, where we've totally disagreed with the teacher and what the teacher was teaching. And so we would come alongside and show them in scripture, and we would come alongside and have conversations of, you know, because they'd go, Dad, the teacher said this, and millions and millions of years ago there was this. And we were able to sit down and just go, well, here's what God's word says. Here's why we know that it's true.
Yeah.
And so I think what Kelly said earlier, keeping the line of communication open, because the worst thing we can do, and I was probably very, very bad about this when my kids were younger, is blowing up. What do you mean you heard this? Where'd you hear that from? Instead of listening.
Yeah.
And going, okay, where'd you hear it? What was the context? All right, let's talk through that.
Yeah.
And so I've had to grow and learn, because I guarantee you I handled it wrong at the very beginning. But to walk them through, hey, we don't say those words because of this. Here's what the Bible says. And we don't do this because of who we are and who we represent. And so I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. And if you get into conversations like what Shane was talking about, a great resource, if your kids ask you questions, you know, like, I don't know the answer to that, is gotquestions.org. G-O-T, questions, as in you've got questions. You can go on there, ask a question, and it's almost like a Google thing where it'll pull up articles. And they do a really great job explaining some of the apologetics behind why the Bible says some of the things, and even when it comes to creation specifically, and then answers in Genesis as well. Two great resources. But have you guys considered, I mean, Kelly, you've kind of alluded to this, but have you considered making the shift from public to private or to homeschool since your kids have been in school? And what'd that conversation look like in the midst of whatever seasons you may have been in, with whatever you're willing to share?
For us, it's kind of interesting. With the new rules about transferring and all that, it's funny. Cutter has had guys from a couple of private schools reach out to him and say, hey, man, why don't you transfer and come play with us?
Right.
And even when he was in middle school, there was a certain school in the area who was recruiting. And we were just like, no, we're not going to do that. We love the beach community. We love the Shackle Island community. And so for us, it was just kind of a no. But I think, once again, you have to weigh and see what's best for your children. And even if it's, I'll give you an example. Our pastor, his kids go to two different schools.
Yeah.
And I remember someone came up to me and goes, can you believe that his kid's not going to beach? And I went, yes, I can't believe it, because he's doing what's best for his kid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that's the key, is you've got to look and see what's going to best benefit your kid, and how it's going to impact your family. And then make the decision based on that.
Yeah.
Because if you start thinking any other thing, if you start going, well, we're going to do this, there's so many other things that come into play.
Right.
But I loved, because it was funny, when Pastor made that decision and both boys went to different schools, all of a sudden there was this, I can't believe it. And I went, you can't believe it. Dad's doing mom and dad are doing what's best for their child.
Right.
And so I love that idea, and I love that concept. And so you have to weigh and see. Finances are a part of it. Transportation is part of it. All those different things. But you have to look and see, where's my kid going to thrive best? Where are they going to succeed and grow and learn best?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're pretty content with our choices right now, but I think it's an ongoing, like, year to year evaluation, honestly, of like, hey, like Shane said, what's going to help my child thrive? What resources do we have available to us?
Right.
What does our budget look like? You know, do we need to make accommodations or changes there? But right now we've been super thankful for the Sumner County Schools, and have been really thankful and blessed for public school. Who knows what we'll do with our third? You know, she's going to be the wild card.
No, that's fair. And just to represent the homeschoolers or the people considering homeschool, I will say I'm not a parent. I'm not giving parenting advice. But as a borderline advocate for homeschooling, to be that voice in this episode, I really think it comes down to what community is there. Like up here in Hendersonville and Sumner County, there's a great homeschool community. And in the Nashville area, there are great homeschool teams that have different sports, but there's also private schools and public schools where you can do stuff. When I grew up in Memphis, I feel like homeschooling was hitting its peak as far as the amount of students that were doing it in Memphis, because there was enough for there to be three different homeschool sports organizations.
Wow.
And it was not just at the varsity level. It went all the way down into fifth and sixth grade age. And so there's this huge community out of two of the larger churches in the Memphis area. And so when we chose for me to homeschool, it came out of like, all right, this private school isn't the best option. And my dad graduated from the public school. He said, absolutely not. And so I homeschooled. And, you know, there's a lot of great ways to be able, especially now with like Liberty Online and stuff like that. There are Homeschooling is more accessible. If private school isn't a financial option and where you are, the public school isn't great, there's a lot of great ways to where, you know, the colleges only care about the ACT and the SAT. They really do. Like, as a homeschooler that went to college, my GPA was like a 3.9 because my mom wouldn't give me a 4.0. She's like, they'll think I'm lying. I'm like, that's not how it works. But like, literally every recruiter I talked to was like, what's your ACT score? And I was like, here it is. And that's what mattered. And so if you're like, hey, neither, like, don't love either of these options, but homeschooling just doesn't seem like a viable option because I can't teach. There's options out there. There's like there's K through 12. There's a website. I can't remember what it is, but homeschooling is a great option if you have the right community.
Well,
because the isolation is where homeschooling can get tricky, and that's something I definitely avoided, and I'm so grateful. I mean, three of my groomsmen in my wedding were guys that I met because I homeschooled. And ultimately that led me to Union, which then helped me meet Grant Zach. And so, like, I can point back to all but one of my groomsmen I met because I chose to homeschool. And so I know that's not going to be the case for everybody.
Well, no, but to your point, Alec, the resources are so much better compared to what they were years and years ago as far as as far as homeschooling. And it's able, you know, so many homeschoolers now, the parents aren't necessarily the teachers.
Correct.
Because they can do everything online.
Yeah.
And they've got courses and they've got ways to do it. And so... And then what's it? Is it called? It's not called a cohort.
A co-op. Yeah.
Co-op.
Long Hollow has a co-op.
I did a co-op my first year of homeschooling. And then after that, like, I'd already taken the ACT. Once you hit a 20 or 18 on the ACT in the state of Tennessee, you can start doing dual enrollment classes at local community colleges. And I did that in Memphis. Almost all of my classes, because of how the college semesters work, I took two or three dual enrollment classes in the fall, two or three in the spring. And then I also did an extra year so I could play another year of basketball, because in homeschool sports, it's all about age, not necessarily grade. There's not eligibility rules. It's just age.
So you reclassed?
I reclassified before it was cool.
Oh, my goodness.
I should have graduated. I should have graduated a year earlier than I did.
Oh.
And so, but, you know, it also then set me up very well for college. And because I mean, all of my high school classes were college classes. They were community college, but they were still college classes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was able, those transferred in well because they were state schools. And yeah, which we need to do a whole, I mean, we already talked about college, but like credits transferring and stuff is a whole different ball game. And so, yeah, I did homeschooling in high school, and it was the best decision that we made in my schooling life. So obviously, that's not going to be the case for everybody, but I wanted to be the advocate for the homeschoolers on this podcast. So I've talked a lot, and so I'm just going to wrap the episode up. And so if you have any questions that you want us to tackle, text parent to 98173, and you can find all of our resources on our resource page at longhollow.com/parent. So Shane, Kelly, thanks so much. Thanks for letting me talk more this episode. I talked a lot. And we'll see you guys next week. See ya.
Bye.